Welcome to our Lenten edition of Crosstalk, where we focus on faith as we follow Jesus to the cross. Here's Jeremy Ashley.
Today's reading is from John chapter 13, 31 to 35. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." They should be able to tell the difference. That was the bottom line of my speech I gave my third grade students every time we left the building on a field trip. I would tell them, "You are representatives for Jesus, so people we come across should be able to tell the difference between you and kids who don't know Jesus. We're held to a higher standard. That's the bottom line of my talk with the adults I have hired over the years. I would remind them, you represent not only the church and the school you work for, but you represent Christians and Jesus." Now, I get Christians aren't perfect or any less broken than others, but the fact of the matter is we really are different, and we should be. Jesus, as he approaches the end of his time on earth, gives his disciples a new command, which wasn't new to God's people, but had a bit of a new context for the disciples. Love one another. Love one another the way I have loved you. I have a great appreciation for the fact that Jesus spent years with these guys modeling how to live, and then he says, "Now you do it. I've showed you how, now it's your turn." He doesn't pull them aside and say, "Well, fellas, I'm not going to be around much longer, and I really didn't get the chance to show you how to do this, but I'm going to need you to love one another. Sound good? Good luck." No, first he models it. He loves others. He shows his disciples that loving others sometimes looks like hanging out with people nobody likes. He shows them that loving others sometimes looks like touching unclean people. He shows them that your neighbor is anyone that God puts in your path. He shows them that loving others sometimes makes you unpopular and weird. It's only after he models it does he command it. Now you do it. It's like starting a new job and getting a really good training beforehand. You watch me do it, then we'll do it together, then I'll watch you do it, and then you'll do it on your own. Voila. So the disciples surely knew what this would look like. They'd watched him do it enough. I'm guessing they were clear on that because, well, Jesus was kind of a great teacher. But then Jesus continues, "By this everyone will know you're my disciples, if you love one another." Now, I'm not positive if Jesus is specifically commanding his disciples to love one another within their group of disciples, or if he also is commanding them to love outside of that group in this case. But there is certainly enough evidence to suggest that Jesus' desire was for both to be happening. So let's touch on both. When we, as in those who are already connected with Jesus, love each other well, we show those not yet connected that there is something different about us, something that they should want to be a part of. Who wants to marry into a dysfunctional family or accept a job at a place where there is disharmony, distrust, and disrespect? You can get that anywhere in the world. But when others see a faith community who, in their brokenness, lives life together as loving brothers and sisters in Christ, that's something special that you just can't find anywhere. It works the same way if we look at it from the perspective of loving others, as in all others, even unbelievers. In the Gospels, we hear Jesus say, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." If the people who don't yet know Jesus aren't welcomed into our lives and loved by us, where are they supposed to go? Jesus certainly didn't shun them while he was on earth, so there is not a reason for us to think we should, right? When we love unbelievers, we show them the heart of Christ. We help communicate to them that Jesus meets them where they are, that they are never too broken, too bad, or too far gone for the healing grace of God to bring them back into his arms. So I want you to finish listening to this message and have two names and a thought in mind. The first name, who do you need to love like Jesus loves you? Let me repeat that. Who do you need to love like Jesus loves you? Who in your life right now is hard to love and needs Jesus? Name them out loud and ask Jesus to help you love them with the same kind of love he has for you. The second name, who in your life right now is hard to love and already knows Jesus? So who in your life right now is hard to love and already knows Jesus? Say their name out loud. Sometimes it almost seems more challenging to love a fellow believer, perhaps because we think they should know better. But good news, you have the opportunity to show them what it looks like to love without conditions. And the thought, have you been allowing God and others to love you well? Have you been allowing God and others to love you well? Do you really accept God's unconditional love for you? We're about to remember good for us, not so good for Jesus, Good Friday. Everything Jesus experienced on the cross took care of the unlovableness of our lives. He took it, so let it go. Why be anxious and worry about a debt that has already been forgiven? Allow yourself to be loved by others and by God. Let's pray. Father, you are good. You have given us a love that is matched by no one else. Our cup overflows with the love you have for us, yet we can't seem to give some of that over to others. Help us with that, Lord. Help us to love one another, not so that our lives can be peaceful or easy or so we can feel better about ourselves, but so that everyone will know that we are your disciples. Give us the faith needed to know that what you say is perfect and holy. In the name of your only Son, who we remember today is preparing his heart for what he knows tomorrow holds, and yet does it for us. Amen.